I have entitled this message, The Gift. I have an uncle who is opposed to Christmas. And he thinks it is against the Bible to celebrate Christmas. And he will tell you why he feels it's wrong to celebrate Christmas. But he always adds this disclaimer. However, I will receive gifts. Everybody has some interest in gifts. Gift. That's hard to say. Gifts. I guess I better get used to saying it if I'm going to preach this message. Now, there are two prerequisites for something to be defined as a gift. First, there has to be a giver of the gift for it to be a gift. And second, there has to be a receiver of that gift for it to be a gift. If there is not a giver, it's not a gift. And if there is not a receiver, it is not a gift. There's no such thing as a gift that was not received as a gift. Now, in this verse of Scripture that I read in John chapter 4, verse 10, let's read it again. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, in this verse of Scripture, we read both of the receiver of the gift and the giver of the gift. Now, first, let's talk some about the receiver of the gift. He says to this woman, this Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God. Well, who's the Lord speaking to? Well, we know from this chapter that she was what many people would call a real loser. This woman had been married 5 times. Now, you've got to have some sort of issues, I would think, to be married 5 different times. That's what happens with movie stars, 8, 9, 10 times. But just for consideration of this woman, she had some issues, didn't she? She'd been married 5 times. We know that this woman was a sinful woman. She was living in a sinful relationship. She was living with a man. She was cohabiting with a man who was not her husband. So she was living in a sinful relationship with this man. I know that this woman was an ignorant woman. Our Lord said, if you knew. The fact of the matter is, when he said this, she did not know. She was an ignorant woman. And as a matter of fact, if you read this passage of Scripture, this woman was really a very shallow woman. I mean, she was very shallow. He talked about the gift of God and living water and so on, and all she could understand was H2O. I mean, I'd like to get some of this water that'll make me not thirst anymore, and I won't have to come back here to the well and draw. All she understood was H2O. She didn't really understand what he was saying when he said something about living water. So this woman, she had issues. She was a sinful woman. She was an ignorant woman. And she was a shallow woman. Now, that's the definition of this woman that our Lord said, if you knew the gift of God. So the receiver of this gift is described in our text. Now, you know what this does for me? When I read this description of this woman, it makes me think, if he can give her his gift, you know who else he can give it to? Me. If she can be a receiver of this gift, so can I. I want to receive this gift he's speaking of when he says, if you knew the gift of God. So here we have the receiver of this gift, this poor Samaritan woman. And this ought to encourage everybody here. If her, why not you? Why not me? That's the only way to look at this. I want to be a receiver of this gift, whatever it is. Now, also, we read in this passage of Scripture of the giver of this gift. You certainly cannot have a gift if there's not first one who gives the gift. And you know, the value, the preciousness of a gift is determined by who gives it. For instance, if your enemy gives you a gift, you might just give it back. You might not want to take it from your enemy. But let's say a young man in love with a young woman gives her a ring. Now that gift to that woman is precious, isn't it? But you know why it's precious? Because of who gave it. There's something special about that. The ring is precious. I remember when I gave Lynn a ring. She'd look at that ring. I remember the way she'd look at it. I'd feel kind of jealous. I think she always liked, did she like the ring better than me? You know, I wasn't real sure, you know. But I believe that ring was precious, though, because of who gave it. And when the preciousness of a gift is determined by who gives it. Now, who gives this gift? Look in our text. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith that he give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Look in verse 14. But whoso drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now, here's the giver of this gift. The giver of this gift is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, doesn't that make whatever he gives infinitely precious? This is the Lord Jesus Christ that gives this gift. The one who is God, the Creator, the one of whom this book we call the Bible speaks. Actually, he wrote every word of it. This is the giver of this gift. He is the God-man, fully God. And fully man, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the one who in Isaiah 9:6 is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the one who is Lord, the one who is absolutely sovereign. That means He has a will, and He has the power to make sure His will comes to pass. You know, there's only one sovereign, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's interesting when you read of countries, they say this is a sovereign nation and that's a sovereign nation. But they can't infringe on this sovereign nation's sovereignty. Well, that disqualifies the term sovereign, doesn't it? I mean, there's only one sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in absolute control. One who has power to enrich. One who has wealth beyond description. The gift He gives. Now, if I give you a gift, I can't enrich you. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the giver of this gift. So we see the receiver of this gift and the giver of this gift. And listen to this about this gift. The giver is the gift. The giver is the gift. That's what makes this gift so infinitely precious and valuable. Listen to this scripture. Romans 8:32. It's talking about the gift that God gave. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen to this scripture. Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not? What could possibly prevent Him? How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now, if you have this gift, you know what that means? That means you have all things. All that God requires, all that you need, you have in possession if you have this gift. Does that whet your appetite? I want this gift, don't you? I'm interested in this gift. I'm qualified for it. If she was, I am. And he has the ability, the power to give me this gift. So the Son of God says to this woman, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him. And he would have given you living water. If you knew the gift of God. And you know what? This is equally true. If you do not know the gift of God, you will not ask for it. And if you do not ask for it, you'll never receive it. So here we have the importance of knowledge. If you knew the gift of God. Now, you're not going to be asking for it if you don't know what it is or who it is or how it comes. You're not going to ask. But if you knew, you would ask. And he would have given thee living water. So there is no salvation, there is no receiving of this gift without knowledge. If you knew the gift of God. Now, you know how I respond to this when I hear this? Now, understand this. There's no asking for this gift. There's no receiving of this gift. There's no experiencing of this gift without knowledge, whatever that knowledge is. Now you know what that does to me when I read of that? I don't think, well, how much do I need to know? That's generally the way people respond. Well, how much do you need to know? That's the wrong question. That's absolutely the wrong question. Not how much. It's whatever it is, I want to know it. If you knew, well, okay, I want to know, don't you? I want to know. Whatever it is I must know to ask for this gift, I want to know. If you knew the gift of God, well, I want to know. Well, let's talk about the gift of God for just a few moments. If you knew the gift of God, this word means the free gift of God. As a matter of fact, it's quite often translated the free gift. The free gift. The gratuity of God. That which He gives freely. Now, are you interested in this? Receiving that which He gives freely? Now, if you don't have anything to pay, this will interest you. In reality, a person's need determines their appreciation of this gift, and their poverty will determine their appreciation of the freeness of this gift. If you knew the free gift of God. You see, we've already pointed out that in this gift that he's speaking of to this woman, everything's included in it. Everything you need. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things, all spiritual blessings, everything you need is found in this gift. All you could ever want is found in this gift. If you have this gift, you won't even want any more gifts. You won't be looking for anything else. This is how complete this gift is. Now, if you knew the free gift of God. Now, let me give you some descriptions of this gift in the Scripture. Paul calls this gift in 2 Corinthians 9:15 the unspeakable. This gift is so infinitely precious. It's so infinitely great that there's not a word that can be used to describe this gift. You can't put a price on it. You can't put a value on it. It's the unspeakable gift, unexpressible gift. And this gift that he speaks of is the gift that absolutely cannot be bought. It cannot be paid for. What price could you put on it? I think of Peter's words to Simon Magus. He said, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You know, any belief in salvation by works in any way is the ultimate insult to God. He gives His Son and you think you can pay for it? You think you can give a price that will render God obligated to do something for you? You think you can pay for a son? That's the ultimate insult to God. This gift, you can't put a price on this gift. You can't pay for this gift. This gift's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could you pay for Him? What could you do to merit Him or to buy Him or to earn Him? This is the free gift of God. And to think salvation in any way can be purchased is to devalue the gift. It's to show how little you really think of the gift. Oh, this gift is so infinitely precious. And here's something that's amazing. If I said this gift, this infinitely precious gift, could be had for $100, everybody in this room would do whatever it took to get $100 to pay for this gift. But when I say this gift is absolutely free, absolutely free, there are people that are going to leave here with no interest in this gift. If you knew the freeness of this gift, salvation is free. Now, I want to give you four things that the Bible speaks of that are all part and parcel of this gift He speaks of. When He says to this woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, you would have asked Him and He would have given you this living water. Now, here's the first scripture I want to bring out that teaches us something of this gift. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, this phrase. We read of the gift of the grace of God. Now this gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is part of this gift. It's all one whole, but it's the gift of the grace of God. Now, do you know what grace means? It means unmerited favor. I bet most folks in this room could have answered that question properly. It means unmerited favor, unearned favor. It's what God gives you when you don't even deserve it, when you can't earn it, when you can't pay for it, but God gives it to you anyway. That's God's unmerited favor. Do you really believe in grace? Now, I can tell you how you can tell if you really believe in grace. And this is the Todd Road Grace Church. Do you believe in grace? Well, here's how I can tell whether you really believe in grace. Listen real carefully. Do you believe the election of grace? Now, that's how I can tell if you believe in grace. Do you believe in the election of grace? We read in Romans 11:5 of the election of grace. Well, what is election? What's that got to do with? Well, Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, election says that God selected, chose who would be saved before time began. And that's election. That's what it means. He chose, He selected who He would save before time began. Now, this choice that He made was not because He looked down through the telescope of time and figured out and saw who would believe and said, well, I see they're going to believe, therefore I'm going to choose them. Not at all. He simply, as an act of His own free and sovereign will, selected who He would save. And it didn't have anything to do with their works. For the children, Romans 9:11, for the children, talking about Jacob and Esau, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob of a love, but Esau of a hated. Now, election. God chose who'd be saved. He passed by the rest. That's so, isn't it? That's so. And I don't apologize for it. If it's the way God did it, it's the best way. It's the right. Whatever He does is right. But there's two things that election safeguards when we're talking about grace. The election of grace. If election is so, and it is, then it doesn't give anybody to boast in. Doesn't give you anything to boast in. Doesn't give you anything that you can take credit in. It's all God. If God made this choice before I was born, I can't boast in it because I didn't do anything in order to get it. It's a free gift. Election keeps us from boasting, and election excludes a payment. I didn't have anything to pay. I wasn't even born. You know, I love election. I love the God of election. I love the elector. I love the elect. And I love the fact that He elected. Gives a sinner like me hope. It's free grace. And let me say this regarding this thing of election. If you don't believe in election, you don't believe grace. Period. If you don't preach election, you don't preach grace. Period. Election is grace. God's election is grace. And so when you talk about this gift of God, the gift of grace, it's seen first of all in light of election. Now we read this phrase in Romans 15:17. We read of the gift of righteousness. We talked about the gift of grace. Now let's talk for a few moments about the gift of righteousness. As a matter of fact, go ahead and turn there. I want you to see it with your own eyes. Romans 15. Romans 5, excuse me. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, that phrase, the gift of righteousness. Now, we don't generally think of righteousness as a gift, do we? We think of it as something we've got to do. You know, that was a righteous act or that was an unrighteous act. But when the Scripture speaks of righteousness, it speaks of the gift of righteousness. Now, righteousness. Listen to me real carefully. There's only one righteousness. That's the righteousness of God. You believe that? There's only one righteousness. That's the righteousness of God Himself. David said in Psalm 71, verse 16, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. He said, I don't speak of any other righteousness, only thy righteousness. Now, righteousness, and righteousness is a perfect standing before God's holy law. If you want to define it, you take the Ten Commandments. A righteous person will say, I've kept them all together. I've not broken any of the Ten Commandments. Now, this righteousness that is spoken of in the Scriptures is a gift. It's not something you do in order to be. It's something that is given to you. Righteousness is a gift. It's given. Now, remember, it's just God's righteousness we're speaking of. It's the obedience of Jesus Christ when He walked upon this earth and kept the law. That's the righteousness we're speaking of. It's a gift that God gives. He gives it to His people in two ways. It's the same righteousness. He gives it first by imputation. That means it's credited to your account. It's given to you. It's charged to you. My standing before God's holy law is the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ given to me, charged to my account, so I stand before God not guilty. Perfectly righteousness. His obedience is charged to my account, and that's the only ground of justification there is. That's the only ground. No other ground. His righteousness only. Now, His righteousness is given to me in the new birth. That's how I understand. The only way you can understand, and I mean really with your heart understand and believe, that Christ's righteousness is your righteousness before God when you actually have faith, is when He gives you a new nature. It's called the new birth. It's called being born again. It's called being partakers of the divine nature. He gives you this new birth, this righteous nature that believes the gospel,
that loves God, that repents, that looks to Christ. That's the new nature. Now, this is the gift of righteousness. It's His righteousness. His obedience is charged to my account. He gives me this gift, this new birth that apprehends His righteousness and believes on Him. That's the gift of righteousness. Now, here's a question I have. How can I know if I have this gift? I believe what you've been saying. I give full assent to it. But how can I know if I personally have and possess this gift of righteousness, this gift of grace, this gift who is Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, very familiar verse of Scripture. For by grace are you saved, that gift of God's grace, through faith. And that faith, it's not of yourselves, it's not the product of your free will, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, here's the evidence of having this gift of righteousness, this gift of God, this gift of His grace. Here's the evidence. Faith. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is all in your salvation? And do you believe that? Do you believe that His righteousness is the only righteousness? Do you really believe that? Are you right now, while I'm speaking to you, relying upon His righteousness as your righteousness before God? Now, you can answer that with a yes or no. You don't have to be confused about that. You know whether you trust Him or whether you trust yourself. Now, if you trust His righteousness, if you trust Him, you trust Him as the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes, you trust Him, that is perfect evidence that God has given this gift of grace, this gift of righteousness to you. It is yours. You have this gift. You possess this gift. Now, if you knew, he said, the gift of God and who it is that is speaking to you, you would have asked of Him. And He would have given you this gift. Now, understand this about this gift of grace, this gift of righteousness, this gift who is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, this gift that has everything included in it. You have all things. He'll freely give us all things in having this gift. Understand this about this gift. Everybody who has this gift, you know what they do? They ask for it. They ask for it. If you knew the gift of God, what would you do, our Lord says? He said you'd ask. Everybody who has this gift is going to ask for it. Now, I want to give you the English words that are used to translate this one Greek word, ask. If you knew, you'd ask. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 58, this word is translated beg. If you knew the gift of God, you know what you'd do? You'd beg for it. And then in Acts chapter 16, verse 29, this word is translated call for. If you knew the gift of God, you'd call for it. Lord, give it to me. If you knew the gift of God, Mark 15:43 is translated crave. You crave this gift. And then in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, it's translated desire. If you knew the gift of God, you'd desire this gift. And then in Luke chapter 23, verse 23, it's translated require. If you knew the gift of God, you would require this gift. I mean, you'd have to have it. You'd have to have it. Well, I do desire this gift. I crave for this gift. I require it. I have to have it. I'm begging for it. If you knew, you would ask. Now, here's what everybody who knows does. They ask for this gift. You have not, said James. Why? Because you ask not. Now, if you know the gift of God, here's what you right now will be doing in your heart while you're listening to me. You'll be asking for this gift. You know what's amazing to me is I asked for this gift a long time ago, and I received it. You know what? I'm still asking for it. Still am. I'm asking right now. I want this guy. I'm asking him now. If you knew, you'd ask. What does our Lord say next? He said, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask. And if you ask, He would have given thee this living water. Now, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7? Verse 7. Now, these are the words of the Lord, the great giver of the gift. And look what He says to us. Ask, and it shall be given you. Been talking a few minutes ago about election. Somebody worries, well, what if I'm not elect and I ask? That's hit somebody's mind. What if I'm not elect and I ask? Beloved, He says, if you ask, it shall be given. Now, that's a promise. You don't need to worry about whether or not you're one of the elect. What you need to do is ask. Right now. He promises, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, He says, and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. I asked and I didn't receive. You saying the Lord was lying there? You saying He's wrong? There's never, ever in the history of the universe been anybody who asked that didn't receive. Now, it could be that you tried to bargain and called it asking. Matter of fact, every one of us has been guilty of that. But that's, He says, everyone that asks. This ought to encourage everybody in this room so much. If you ask, you'll receive. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you of whom if son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now if you then, you know you won't, your child's hungry and you throw out a stone or a snake to him, you know that's not going to happen. If you then, I've always loved this verse of Scripture. The Lord's talking to His disciples here. He says, if you then, being evil, would that fit you? And He's speaking to His disciples. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him. Now, if you do not have this gift right now, there is one reason. Now, please listen to me carefully. This gift that includes all things, if you personally do not possess this gift right now, there's one reason and one reason only. You've not asked for it. If you ask, you will receive. The Lord promises that. And if you don't have it, there's only one reason. You've not asked for it. You have not because you asked not. You see, if you ask, He would have given you this living water. Now, I want to close by talking about this living water He gives. Look in verse 10 again of our text, John 4. Jesus answered and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." Look in verse 14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." You see, this water that He gives, and this is talking about the gift of His grace, the gift of righteousness, the gift of Himself, the gospel. If you drink of this water that He gives, you won't be looking for anything else. You'll be completely satisfied. Are you satisfied to be saved by Jesus Christ? Or are you looking for something else? Now, if you're looking for something else, it says one thing. You've never drunk of the water that He's talking about. You see, if you've ever drunk of the water that He speaks of, that He gives, if you've ever drunk of this water, you are satisfied. You're satisfied to be saved by Jesus Christ. You're satisfied to have all your sins washed away simply by His blood. You're satisfied to be saved by His righteousness. You're satisfied to be saved by Him. You're satisfied with Him getting all the glory and you getting none. And you like it that way. You're satisfied. If you've drunk, you're satisfied. If you're not satisfied, you've never drunk. Our Lord tells us, "Whoso drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Christ in you. The hope of glory. Now I challenge you right now, ask for this gift. And if you walk out of this room without this gift, there's only one reason: you refuse to ask. Because anybody who asks, our Savior promises us, receives. May God give us grace to ask. Let's pray together.